Today is a very special, very reflective episode of Match Matt, as we as a nation bid farewell to President Barack Hussein Obama and his lovely family and the experiences that we've had with him. So me and Isabella are going to sit down and really talk about what that was like for people growing up, for kids who saw President Obama do the impossible at 13 and 14 years old. We're really going to take time to sit and really think about what that meant for us, what that means for us now. Was President Obama the president we needed him to be? Was he the leader we needed him to be? If he wasn't, what is next? Who is next? And what do we have ahead of us? As we face uncertainty, one thing is clear. We have nothing to lose but our chance. Y'all, welcome to Match Matt. You know, and today is a very special day. You know, I think every day is special because, you know, you wake up for another 24 or whatever. But I think it's very special because we see the transition of one of the greatest leaders that we've ever seen in American history. Not one of, like, the greatest, you know, so who wasn't a revolutionary such as Malcolm X or Dr. King or, you know, certain other people that we talk about. And here I have Isabella, and we're here to talk about, you know, our thoughts and our feelings, because we grew up watching President Obama be president. Like, when we were born, like, we saw Bush, but we didn't really know Bush. Like, we didn't have, like, a personal relationship with...
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, the only really correlation I have with Bush is 9/11. Like, literally, because that's really all you kind of remembered him from when you were younger, because that's everything, like, that was what he was... remembered for a lot of the time, especially at the end of his second term. So for me, I didn't really like feel any connection towards Bush, but when President Obama got elected, it was like totally different for me. Like, I remember just like the thought of him actually like winning was like crazy to me, because I was like, I couldn't even think, like, especially being a kid of color at the time, like, to think that President Obama was actually going to do it, like, win, was just like huge for me, like, to think that. And I remember, like, watching in, like, eighth grade when he got sworn in, like, we were all watching on, like, the TV and at, like, my school, and I was just, like, so, like, this is so cool. And then just, like, for him to kind of, like, follow me throughout my youth into, like, my young adulthood, it's, like, he's, in a lot of ways, he's become, like, someone I really do admire. But he, you know, I don't agree with him on everything and everything he's done, but I think, you know, for the millennials right now, he really did give us hope.
Yeah, which is, like, mad crazy, because you think about it, like, we grew up, like, his kids pretty much, because his daughters are, like, our age, you know what I'm saying, around our age, so we all, like, growing up and shit like that, and so we just see, like, President Obama and, like, First Lady Michelle Obama really, like, being a family and really, like, showing us, like, the impossible was actually possible in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So I think that was, like, the very, like, wild thing personally for, like, for me. Do you remember the inauguration, his inauguration, his first one? Did you have you, like, watch it in school or anything?
Yeah, that's what I remember. We did watch it in school, and I was, like, just, like, the whole day was, like, dedicated to that, and I just thought that was so cool. And I'm sure they've done that for past presidents, but, like, it just was different. Like, the tone of the country was just completely different, especially when I think about, you know, what's going to happen in 9 days, you know, like, I wonder what that tone's going to be like, because it's just a completely different vibe that the country has right now, which is, like, it was just such a hopeful vibe when he first came in, and now I'm just, like, I'm not positive it's going to be like that again. So it's sad, like, especially when I watched his speech last night, it was sad to, like, see how far, like, we've come in a lot of ways, and then, like, but also, like, we've taken so many steps back, I think, you know, with who's going to follow him, so.
Do you think we were, like, taking steps back, or do you think we were already standing there?
Like, I mean, clearly we were already there, because it didn't, you know, I mean, sure, only a third of the country voted. I mean, but that says enough to me that people didn't go out and vote, because obviously they weren't either excited about the candidates that were presented, and who can blame them? I mean, you had Hillary Clinton, who is very problematic, and then you have Donald Trump, who is even worse, and it's like, you know, a lot of people didn't want to pick between the two evils. And I also think that, you know, Trump's rhetoric isn't anything new. Like, everyone's always so shocked by what he says, but he says what a lot of people in this country feel, like, and that's unfortunate, especially, like, being a minority, but he only normalized that rhetoric and made it people think that it's okay now to act like that and speak like that and be open about those thoughts instead of being more open-minded. So I don't really, I have to agree that I think we were, obviously were already there, but I mean, I just think he made it like way more open, like to have those kinds of thoughts.
As a person who was a minority, how did that affect the way you view like the system, like our electoral system?
I was some stark differences. This was my first time being able to vote. So I was like so heavily invested in this like election, like from the beginning. And because like I do like the news and stuff and journalism, I had been following it and that stuff, you know, as in that aspect as well. So like for me, I was so excited, like because I really thought it was going to be like Bernie Sanders, and I was really excited by him. And then when I realized like he wasn't going to, you know, get the nomination, I did, you know, I swallowed my pride and I, you know, supported Hillary Clinton because I could not bring myself to like support Donald Trump. But, you know, it's kind of just been so discouraging, especially how exposing this election has been. You know, we saw the emails, we saw like how the DNC didn't want Bernie as their candidate, and you know, they, in my opinion, backed the wrong person. But it's discouraging because it's like, did I ever really have a choice, you know? Like, if the Electoral College, you know, puts their votes for whoever, you know, does it matter? Because he didn't win the popular vote, and that's like discouraging to me. So it's like this whole system is like, you know, I want to still believe in it because like I don't want, you know, this to like define how I am in the future with like social justice, but it's been discouraging. I won't lie about that.
Okay. So what do you feel is the next step?
Like
for you, just for like, just how do you feel? Like, what do you feel like has to be done or should something be done? You know,
I mean, it's just so unclear. And I always like debate this, like with, like, you know, some of my, like, favorite professors who, like, talk in depth with me about it. But, you know, I really don't know if, like, this is rock bottom or we're gonna hit rock bottom as a country, like, over again. You know what I mean? Like, because we've seen it. Like, this country has, and especially oppressed people, have really gone through so much, always. And that has never changed. Like, oppression has never not gone away. I just, you know, hope that it doesn't get, like, to an extreme like it has in the past. But I also think that this might be like a wake-up call for not only, you know, minorities everywhere, but even, you know, the privileged who might have not necessarily agreed with everything that he said but still voted for him. Maybe it'll be a wake-up call for them to, you know, figure it out, pull it together and realize this is like inhumane, some of the things he's suggesting in his campaign. And I think, you know, the best thing that we, as a, like a millennial, as someone who's only 21, you know, I have my whole life ahead of me, so do you, and like entering an industry that is influential, I think the best thing that, you know, people our age can do is, you know, don't let it affect you. Like, always push your ideas, always, you know, work towards your goals and do what you think is right, because at the end of the day, like, you know, generations are going to pass and we're going to be the next, you know, the next group of older people who are going to vote, and we're going to raise kids and we're going to teach them ideas. And I hope that I can, you know, one day if I ever have a family, like I can teach my kids, like, oh, like, you know, to be inclusive and respectful and all those things. And I hate that the whole, you know, idea of the nation is not really like that right now, and it's just really hostile. But I feel like if we have to go through this, then we have to go through this.
So you think it's like a necessary process?
Yeah, I kind of come to that conclusion because I can't wrap my head around anything else. Like, obviously, we're going to have to, like, there's no getting around it. Like, we're going to have to get through, you know, at least these next 4 years, hopefully not eight, but, you know, you never know. Like, and I just feel like this better, you know, wake up some people. But if it doesn't, then, you know, those who are already woke, like, need to just keep fighting, because I don't think that you should just give up, you know, everything you believe in and everything that you deserve just because, you know, the system or, you know, people in power are being abusive and not including you. I think that you always, no matter what, you have to work for what you want. So.
So I was thinking what you said. You talked about it falling on the shoulders not only of minorities, but also the privileged. So, like, do you think that collaborative effort can be, like, done properly?
I mean, I think that it feels impossible right now, but, you know, it has to happen. And I think if you are on the privileged side and you do see you can see the injustice, then you need to, you know, meet us halfway. And I think, you know, minorities and the oppressed who are working so hard every day to, you know, be equal, you know, like just being a woman, you know, being Latina right now is so sometimes discouraging in this country. And, you know, like everything that like I come from, you know, right now is considered like, you know, terrible, like really just like, and it's like looked at in such a demonized way. So like for me, you know, I personally know I have to like work on how I approach like people who are being, you know, racist or sexist towards me. And I have to rethink how I handle it because, you know, a lot of the time I just want to freak out and I do. And I, you know, that might just be my temper or that might just be my personality, but I don't necessarily know if it's the best way, but the only way, because obviously the way that we're doing it now isn't working. But to think that we all have to like be able to have civil conversations, you know, with people who are being disrespectful is like also extremely discouraging. I think we have to find a balance in between those two options of freaking out and calling people racist and sexist to, you know, having those like extremely civil conversations.
So it was one thing that really stuck out to me yesterday about President Obama's farewell address, and that was one thing of like civic responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like as an American civilian, but also being someone who is treated or thought of as a second class citizen, how does that affect your feeling of like duty to like voting and like collaborating with other people? Do you feel like those civic duties are kind of at war with themselves now? Because it's not just about who do you want to pass your laws. It's about like, what do these people stand for? Like for example, for Donald Trump, it seemed for him, it was for us, it wasn't like his policies are bad because he really didn't have anything planned out.
No,
but it was
nothing.
Just because his moral and his ethics were just like totally like shit.
Yeah.
Like, how does that make you feel as like a civilian? Like, how does that make you feel when you want to go register people to vote? Like, do you just ever feel like, damn, I don't want to register the people to vote no more, or like I don't want to engage in conversations with these races because that burden is put on me, and why am I dealing with that burden when I already have another one?
Right. I mean, I totally agree. It's so disheartening sometimes when you really work for something and you try to like have people see it like from your point of view, and like they're just not having it. Like especially like for me, when people talk about like illegal immigrants, like my grandmother came here illegally, like from El Salvador, you know, didn't know the language, didn't know anyone, moved to New York City, literally just went into a church and like people took her in, and like my mom was and my aunt were still in El Salvador, you know, at the time, and she, you know, saved up as much money as she could, and she brought my mom over here. And like that to me is like the bravest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, you know, I would be nothing of what I am, you know, without my grandmother, like in that illegal immigrant story. So like when I hear people, you know, chant like build a wall, or like, you know, like all illegal immigrants are like rapists or, you know, gangsters or whatever you want to call them, you know, it breaks my heart because it's like, you know, a lot of people are fleeing like their homes because it's too bad right there for their kids. And they come here because we're like the land of the free. Like this is, you know, where things are supposed to be better. This is where you can like really have that dream life. And like for my grandmother, like we were able to do that. Like I am going to get my bachelor's degree. Like my mom has a bachelor's degree and has her master's degree. You know what I mean? Like that's awesome to me. And that really is the American dream. But it's so disheartening when people like don't think about it like that. Like, why don't you just look at them as humans? You know what I mean? Like, hey, like that, you know, family crossing over the border from Mexico, they're probably really crossing the border because they have to. They don't have another choice. Like, I just wish people would really look at it in a more humane way, because it's same thing with, you know, Black lives. It's like, how can you, like, you know, tell people of color that they're being overdramatic or that you don't understand? Well, you need to, like, stop and think about it. Like, do you know what it's like to be a Black man in a car being pulled over by the police? You don't. You don't, because you don't, you will never understand how that feels because you're not Black. But, like, at least try to empathize what, like, what that might feel like or what it might be like to live in Chicago and, you know, see so many people you love die. Or, you know, same thing with Detroit. Like, it's, you have to, I think, be able to have empathy for people. And I think that's, like, the hardest thing, because it's, like, when you see people who will not give empathy, it's, like, that makes me want to be, like, all right, well, you know what, F the system, like, I don't care, like, because I can't change it. And, like, I have days like that, like, a lot of the time, but there is something in me that is, like, no, like, you have to keep trying. Like, whether it's for, like, my little sister, like, my brown little sister, like, my brown siblings, like, I'm gonna keep trying until, like, I literally think it's hopeless. And I'm not at that point yet, so.
Yeah, don't ever lose hope. It's always work to be done in some way, shape, or form. But how do you think people build empathy? How do you develop empathy if you don't already have it? Or if you already have it, how do you develop the empathy you currently possess?
I personally think, like, it's all about exposure. Like, I'm from the Northeast, like, New England area, so, like, I was always exposed to, like, a lot of different cultures and stuff like that. Like, so, but when I moved here for college, it was, like, a really rural, like, white area. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. Like, we are in white America. Like, that's whatever. Like, this is where I got, this is where I decided to go to college. But, like, for me, I did not, like, if I had never moved here, I would have never understood, like, the people here. And I'm not saying, like, a lot of, like, people here aren't, you know, racist or sexist or, like, problematic, because a lot are. I mean, our county, Wood County itself, over, I'm pretty sure, 50% voted for Trump. That, I mean, that's scary, you know? But also, I really do try to understand, you know, how would a poor, white, uneducated person, you know, feel in this system of America and its economy? And I really do empathize, because I'm sure it's not a good situation for them. And I can relate, coming from, like, a lower middle class, like, and not always middle class family, you know, seeing, like living, seeing my parents live paycheck to paycheck for, like, a good chunk of my life, and, like, them having financial struggles makes me think, like, okay, like, I can understand why you're mad. Like, I get why you're pissed off at the system. But, like, it's, I empathize, but I don't think they, or a lot, I shouldn't say they, but a lot of them, a majority, really took the time to think and empathize. How do, you know, poor Black people feel right now in this system? How do poor Latinos feel? Illegal immigrants feel? You know, undocumented kids in school feel? And it's, like, that halfway point that's not being reached is, like, the problem. And so, like, how to get it? I just think, like, you have to, like, talk to people. You can't just assume and, like, stereotype everyone you see. And it's, like, you have to, like, force yourself to culture yourself. You know, if you are that white American and, you know, wherever we are in Bowling Green, like, you know, if you're living out and, like, then you need to go, and you need to go somewhere, like, and go culture yourself and see how, you know, so many different places live and how different communities are. Because I'm sure if you do, you'll find that you have way more in common with them than you think. And I just think that it's, that's with anything. Like, I think people just need to kind of, like, meet each other halfway and really, like, educate themselves on other cultures, because we're not just one culture in America. That's, like, what America is, like, a melting pot. So I, that's why it's always so, like, baffling to me that we still are so black and white with everything.
That also confuses me too. I feel you. I'm like,
I just don't get it. Like, we are literally a melting pot. Like, the land of the free, everything. Like, that's what we were based on. And, like, we are so, like, racially divided.
Right. Like, you got a Popeyes with a black woman selling you chicken. That's white owned, by the way. it's like, you got, you know, you have El Zarape, you know, for example, that's right over here. It's like, but you can, like, love a culture. Or you can love...
Yeah,
like,
you love your Mexican food.
Or you
food.
Can love, say, shook. You can be, you know, say, a white person, like, oh, I'm shook. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, you can love Migos, but you can hate that nigga. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's, I don't have all the answers. I don't know, but... I mean, I just hope that, like, there is that. And I feel like we could really be the generation to do it. Because, like, I've met so many, you know, accepting, not, like, I have met a lot of accepting people, but majority of the time they're people of color or oppressed people, and there's a reason that they're so accepting and so open-minded. But I have met a lot of people, especially in college, who have come so far. Like, not, like, obviously amazingly far, because I'm, like, they're not maybe thinking on the my same level, but they have come so much farther than when I met them, like, my freshman year. Like, that white kid I met my freshman year who was, like, high-key problematic and racist and sexist, you know, maybe took a couple classes and, like, realized, oh, hey, like, I shouldn't say those things or I shouldn't act like that. And then by senior year, okay, like, they're doing a lot better. And, like, I think that's the progression we need. Because I can't expect for it to be overnight. I wish it was.
Shit.
Like, I wish there was just a switch.
I wish it was on election night.
Like, right? Like, I wish everyone could have just really, like, sped it up. But, like, I don't know, like, I just really think, like, we could be the generation. I mean, we are so, like, we have so many different types of people who are so open and, you know, so proud of their, like, selves. Like, I have so many LGBTQ friends who are, like, so proud to be themselves. And I love, like, to see that in, like, my peers. And, like, so many people, like, of color who are my peers who are so proud to be Latino, to be Black, like, to be Asian. It's, like, such a powerful thing. And I feel like if we continue, like, acting like that as a generation, like, we could really, like, put an end to, like, you know, so much that, like, you know, our government stands for right now. But it just, like, it takes that push, and I think it takes people, like, really wanting to go into, like, you know, government or politics and, like, you know, why don't you go to a school committee meeting in your town? Like, just, like, getting involved, because it's, like, at a local level, too. If you want to see a change in your city, I think you absolutely should get involved and, like, go to town hall meetings and do that. And I just think we need to push ourselves a little more.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, anytime. I'm going to have to do it again.
Yeah, definitely.